Well, good morning as we join with you in another Sunday sermon in your home from my home. In this time of the coronavirus, it's a time to keep our hearts focused on God's will in this world. So be thinking about God's will. Think about His will concerning your own life. And I'm preaching from Judges on knowing what God wants you to know when it comes to your call. This does have to do with His will. Knowing what God wants you to know for recognizing your call and operating properly in your call. Now, God's Word, Scripture, guides you, guides us in this knowledge. And Scripture gives a powerful lesson on this in the life of Gideon, a man named Gideon. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Know what God knows for your call. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you guide us, teach us, use us for your glory. Help us to understand your call, your Word, the faith in that, the security, the trust. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into this, the atmosphere back then in Judges is described in a weather report in chapter 17. It says that in those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, when you look around, you see the same climate in our day. And back then, 6:1 starts out, says the sons of Israel did what was evil, not what was right, in the sight of the Lord. So it's a statement of the human heart in bondage to sin. It's what they were doing that they thought was right, and it was not right when it came to God. And what they did is they turned against Yahweh. So the Lord made them experience Midianite oppression for 7 years. The Israelites were forced to live in caves, live in mountains. And down where they grew their crops, there were enemy raids that would come, and they'd destroy the Israelite crops and the Israelite animals that were down there. So the Israelites began to cry out to the Lord. And God sent a prophet to explain that this was happening because they had feared the Amorite gods but disobeyed God. Then the angel of the Lord, which was God incarnate, came to a man named Gideon. Gideon's the guy we're looking at. And he's a lot like you. He's a lot like me. He's a lot like all of us. Gideon needed to know what God wanted him to know for recognizing his call and for operating properly in it. Gideon needed three things, and you need them too, and I'm going to give them. Three S's. One is surety. You need surety in what God knows. You need surety in what to believe and do. The second is strength. And you get strength when it's backed by what God says. You get bravery and courage by what God says. And the third is your success. Your success in what you do is measured by operating according to the promise. The success is in the operation. See? You're operating according to the promise. That's the success. And so that's the three S's that we have here. We have surety, strength, success. And those principles always apply when it comes to God's word at work in your life. Surety, strength, and success. We're going to look at them in Gideon. Now, Gideon was a common person among God's people. He was an Israelite guy trying to save what he had from his crops before they could be destroyed by the Amorites. So one day he's out threshing wheat, and he was inside a wine press instead of out in the open where he could be seen because he's trying to hide what he's doing. And then the angel of the Lord, which is God incarnate, came to him, and the Lord prophetically called Gideon a valiant warrior. Well, this surprised Gideon because he was not aware that he was a valiant warrior. And you might be surprised to know that God has called you to serve him, and the scripture says this, and God's word confirms it over and over and over again. But not only has God called you, he also identifies you as his valiant warrior in his son, Christ Jesus. Now, God told Gideon what he was, and God says to you, you're a soldier in the spiritual war. Like Gideon, learn this, know this, and believe it as part of your biblical call. But Gideon knew something else. He and his people were living in cursed, horrible circumstances. So they're up in the caves, they have fortresses up there, they're coming down, they're sneaking around, trying to get their food. And so he asked God, why? He asked, where are all the miracles our fathers told us about? Well, we have questions like that. But the Lord answered him, and the Lord was very interesting in what he said. He told Gideon, go and fight. And without any details, the Lord asked, have I not sent you? Well, this was always in God's word to Moses and then Joshua generations before. Being sent in the name of the Lord was always part of the miracles. The miracle in your life is that you've been spiritually saved. God has you here to do His will. His word tells you what it is. Now, you might be wondering where the miracles are. Well, God answers by saying, go. And God knows the kind of surety you need. And so that's the first thing. Remember, it's surety. Well, Gideon needed surety. God was already saying, I've called you to free Israel. Now, in the spiritual confusion around you, God's word explains your role as a child of God in Christ, shining light in the darkness. And so, see yourself as being much more like Gideon than you might think. Gideon wanted more details. So he asked the Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least in Manasseh. I'm the youngest in my family. See, in areas of your call, you will feel unqualified. And you're going to think you are inadequate. Well, you are. And this is why you must base your surety on what the Lord says in His Word about His work in your life. The Lord gave Gideon more surety. Instead of writing, God spoke the proof text, so to speak, by saying, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now, when you find a promise in Scripture, hold on to it. When in doubt, look to God's Word and hold on to the Scripture for surety to more specifically know what God wants you to know for recognizing what to do and for operating properly while you go. Get the Scripture and use it. It might be the only thing that you can find to hold on to is one Scripture. You know, He says pray in His Word. And He says He answers prayers. Well, hold on to that. Pray and look for His answer. He says you're saved. Well, hold on to that. Know that you're a child of God. You're loved. His grace is all over you. It's in you. Rest in your salvation. He says His word does not come back to Him void. Well, know that. Know that when you speak His truth, it's going out to accomplish His will. You know, it's going to really do something. You know, there's so many things in the Scripture. Grab onto His word and hold on to it. But Gideon was looking for more surety. And it's okay to do that, by the way. We're going to see this. Keep seeking God if you're confused. Keep looking to His Word. Keep remembering what you already know. Gideon looked for more of God's Word. He said, show me a sign that it's you, Lord, who are speaking to me. Well, Gideon made an offering. And the Lord told him, put it on a rock. And then the Lord touched it with the staff. Well, fire came from the rock. It consumed the offering. Gideon was getting confirmation after confirmation. He also got surety. He said, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And then the Lord gave more surety, more word, more promises concerning His call. He said, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Well, Gideon embraced the word. He began operating in the kind of peace described as surety. And this is you when you embrace the word. You will operate in the kind of peace described as sureness, surety. You're stabilized, you're confident, you're purposed in the truth. And then Gideon built an altar to the Lord and he named it, the Lord is peace. All this surety results in strength to go forward in the call. So the Lord told Gideon, take two bulls that belong to Gideon's father, go pull down the altar of Baal, which also belonged to Gideon's father. And Gideon's father was not walking in his own call, so that's why he had this Baal altar that he had made. He was part of the problem. See, his father, Gideon's father, was part of the problem that Israel was experiencing. He wasn't part of the solution. Why? Because he was not living according to God's word. You're called to walk in God's word in the midst of compromising Christians. Don't let them guide you, even if it's parents, even if it's family. Be guided in surety by the Spirit through God's word. If you have a wife that's not following the Lord, be guided in surety by the Spirit through God's Word. If you have a husband that's the same way, not abiding in God's Word, be guided in surety that you have by the Spirit through His Word. And then what happens? Your surety is a testimony to them. It guides them to follow God's Word too. That's a calling. That's ministry. God has you doing that. Well, God told Gideon, cut down the wooden statue of Asherah that was beside the Baal altar. And then build an altar on top of it. And then offer the bull as a burnt offering to Yahweh using the wood of the idol for the fire. See, when you know what God wants you to know about your call, the whole surety part is a faith issue. And so what you do is you believe and you go forward. This is what Gideon's supposed to do. You get on with manifesting Christ in the unusual situations, in the tough situations, the testing ones, the scaring ones. See? Well, now with surety in what God said, We look at Gideon. Gideon's faith produced the actions of strength, bravery, courage. That's what we're looking for in our own lives. And so Gideon, what he did was, is he tore down the pagan garbage. He sacrificed the bull to Yahweh. And the men in the city got very angry about this, by the way. They found out Gideon did it. And they told Gideon's father to bring out Gideon so they could kill him. Well, the father was emboldened by the faith of his son. You see, your own surety will be used by God to bring revival to those who are compromising. Your testimony, talking about you, your testimony will encourage them to get back on track. You are more than a light in the darkness. Your call is to be a light to help other lights to shine brighter. Well, Gideon's father told them, and his light's shining brighter now, if Baal is a god, let him contend for himself. Well, Gideon was given a nickname, Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend against him. Gideon was successful. But the principle is that his success was faithfully doing it. That's the point. The success is to just be faithfully going along and doing what you're supposed to do according to the word. Gideon's success was operating according to the promise itself. And that's your measure too. Go forward according to God's word. No matter what happens, doing that is your success and your call. You are doing what God wants. And that's the point. Now, around the same time, the Midianites were aligned with the Amalekites, and they had other enemy nations. They all came together, and they went and they camped in a valley. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and Gideon blew a trumpet, and the Israelites came to follow him. Then more and more Israelites from all over came together. But Gideon is like you. He's like me. He's like all of us. He needed, even still, more surety for more strength and more success. And so he said, God, if you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, that's what he said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor overnight. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken. And yet, God had already spoken, and Gideon even pointed it out. But the Spirit has a very deep lesson for us here. We really can be just like Gideon. You know, we read God's word, we hear God's word, we know God's word. So, you know, right? We know his word. But sometimes we still seek more confirmation. Our faith wavers. When Gideon woke up, he squeezed the fleece. He was wondering what had happened. His faith wavered. He was not secure. But water came out and filled a bowl. See, but human nature is oddly, well, human, and so Gideon said, God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak one more time. Please let me make a test one more time with the fleece. Let the fleece only be dry, and let there be dew all over the ground. Well, in Christ, God is especially patient and very graceful with you as he works in your life by his Holy Spirit. God wants you to be sure of his word, and it really is okay to try to get God's word right. I mean, you want to be certain about the anchor of truth that you're holding on to. And so you need to make sure that you know what God knows when it comes to your call. It's more important to have surety than to launch out doubting that what you're doing is biblically approved or not. It's more important to get strength from the sure word than going forward wondering if you're being biblical. It's important to know your success is operating according to his word. Now with Gideon, the next day the second fleece was dry, the ground was wet, and now he had another injection of surety. And what did the surety of God's word bring? It brought strength. Gideon and all the people who joined him were emboldened to go in faith to camp near the camp of Midian. Now, what is interesting is how God makes sure the surety is based on his word and nothing else. See, he wants your surety, he wants your strength and your success to be purely in reliance on him and what he said already. So the Lord told Gideon that Gideon had too many people. You know, God said, there are too many people that you have for you to defeat Midian. What an amazing thing to say. Well, it's because Israel would boast in their own strength. That's what he told them. They would say their own power delivered them. Well, God's thinking this about you too. He does not want you to believe that the fruits of your call have to do with your own power. God said that he was the one that was going to get Gideon and his men to defeat the Midians. Well, the same is with your call. God's operating you as you operate. He's living and working in you each and every moment. He's got a plan. He's got a call. You may plant. You may be the one who waters. Could be others. They have a calling too. They're in God's plan. But God is the one who causes the growth in everyone's call. And so God said those who were afraid could all leave. Well, 22,000 people left. 10,000 Israelites stayed. Then God said there were still too many people. So God told Gideon to take them to the water. God said, separate everyone who drank water from their hands from those who knelt down to drink straight from the water. Well, 300 men put their hand on their mouth to drink. Everyone else bent down to drink from the water. And God said he's going to deliver Israel with the 300 men who drank the water from the palms of their hands. Well, various commentators have come up with all kinds of theories for God's reasons for his elimination process that we get there. And the first thing that we know, though, is that God did was he let all the scared people leave the assault team. And then the guys who bent their face down to the water had to leave, too. Now, whatever theory we want to apply to God's method, we must remember this. Very important. The main reason God did this is that God did not want Israel to boast in their own strength, saying their own power delivered them. We all know that, see? So take that lesson home for your own call. God wants his power in you to get all the glory. Like Paul the Apostle said, he said, boast in your own personal weakness so that the power of Christ will be manifested in you. Well, with Gideon, this was all a big test because the enemies were in the thousands. But everyone was operating on the surety based on God's word. Their strength was shown to be completely reliant upon God. There was no doubt their success was in the Lord. And their success was being measured by obedience to God's word. Well, then God told Gideon to go fight because God was going to give Gideon the victory. And then God said something that has to do with knowing Gideon. And God knows you too. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. God told Gideon to go, but that if Gideon was still afraid to go, he should sneak to the enemy camp with a servant, and Gideon will hear something they say that will strengthen him to go fight. So Gideon did it. He snuck down to the outposts of the army, and he saw thousands of Midianites and Amalekites, and he was able to get close enough to hear a man relating a dream to a friend. And the dream that the guy related was that he dreamt that a loaf of bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it hit a tent, and it made it fall. And then the tent flipped over, and it flattened. Well, the man's friend told the man that the dream was the sword of Gideon, and that God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Well, think about this. God told Gideon to go there. God said Gideon would hear the words of the enemy. God said that Gideon would be strengthened by what he heard from the enemy to go against them. This means that God prophesied through the enemy. He gave the dream and he gave the interpretation through the enemy. It means that God knew Gideon would hear and be strengthened. But it also means God was teaching Gideon a humbling lesson about Gideon's own belief needing to be augmented by the belief of pagans. Very big lesson. You see, Gideon got it. He worshiped on the spot because he knew he should have been the one who had always believed that he was the bread of God to roll over the Midians, that he didn't need to go down there. Gideon realized the bigger lesson of God, but he also realized how complicated he had been making everything. Now, sometimes when it comes to our own faith walk, we can really make everything more complicated than it is. Thank God for his patience in your own life. When Gideon heard the dream, and when he heard the interpretation, in this humble realization that he bowed right there, it says, on the spot to worship God. Now, the lesson for us, for you, for me, I'm getting this lesson too, is to trust God's sovereignty. You know, once you know God's word, don't go to the world to get confirmation. You know, you haven't been told to do that by the angel of the Lord standing before you. And the Holy Spirit's not telling you that either. You do not need the mouth of the enemy to say what you should have been saying all along. Be secure in what God says in his word, in the Bible, okay? Don't make it complicated. Well, after worshiping, Gideon went back and he fulfilled his call to be the one to proclaim God's word. And Gideon told the 300 men that the Lord was going to give them victory over Midian. And so Gideon divided the 300 men into three groups. So you have 100 people, men, in each of these groups. And each man held a trumpet, and each man held a pitcher, and they had a torch inside the pitcher. And they were told that when Gideon led 100 men to the camp, he's going to blow a trumpet, and then all the remaining two groups of 100 men are all going to blow their trumpets, and they're all going to yell out for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men went toward the enemy. They blew their trumpets. They smashed the pitchers in their hands. They held the torches with one hand and the trumpet in the other hand. And they yelled, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood there, right there, around the camp, doing this. The whole enemy army took off running. And then the Israelites blew the 300 trumpets. And it says that the Lord had the enemies fighting each other because of the confusion. They were literally attacking and fighting each other. Well, they were defeated. And the rest of the enemy kept running off for miles and miles and miles. Then other men of Israel were summoned from other Israelite areas. And they got together and they pursued the enemy. And they finally caught up with them and they killed the generals of Midian. But the kings and the rest of the enemy were still in retreat. And so Gideon and the 300 men kept going after them. And Gideon got to a city, and he asked for bread because Gideon's men were weary and they were hungry. And he told them they're pursuing the kings of Midian. And the leaders of the city refused to help. So Gideon told them that after he goes and he conquers the enemy, because he knows he's going to, he's going to come back and he's going to beat all those people with the thorns and briars. He was completely assured of success. He knew he's coming back. And he knew those people needed to be chastised. Well, Gideon went to another city. He asked for some help with food from them. They also refused. He told them that when he gets done, he's going to come back and he's going to tear down their tower that was there. Well, by this time, Gideon and his men killed about 120,000 men of the enemy. And they're chasing about 15,000 men who were left. Gideon finally defeated them too. And he captured the two kings of Midian and he killed them. And when Gideon got back to the first city, which refused to help, you know what he did? He beat the men with briars and thorns. Then he went to the other city that refused to help. He tore down the tower, and he killed the men of the city. Now, with all the victory, the men of Israel wanted a leader. They wanted someone like Gideon. And they told Gideon they wanted him and his son to rule over them because he delivered them from Midian. But Gideon said that neither he or his son is going to rule over them. He said, "The Lord shall rule over you." That's the word. And Gideon also knew that God had delivered them. And so before leaving, Gideon asked the men to give him some gold from their spoils of war. Gideon took all the gold and he added it with the gold he took from the kings that he defeated. And what he did is he made a gold priestly vest out of it and he put it in his city, Ophrah. But that's not what God called him to do. See, we're looking at the calling, looking at God's word. Now, yes, Gideon believed that God shall rule over him. He said that. But what he did here with this is he made a trophy. And the consequence is that the trophy got people looking at what had been done by men to free men instead of remembering the ultimate freer, which is God. And unfortunately, it says all Israel acted like a spiritual harlot with that golden garment that was there, meaning they idolized the trophy instead of worshiping God. It says the gold vest trophy became a snare to Gideon and his household. Well, all was not immediately lost. Overall, the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon, but Israel forgot its calling again. And as soon as Gideon died, Israel again acted like a spiritual harlot, worshiping the false Baal gods. They made Baal-berith their god. Israel forgot God again, and yet God had delivered them from their enemies. See, never give glory to yourself in your call, ever. Always, always, always recognize that anything you are, anything you do is all because of Him, all because of Jesus, all because of God who calls you. Keep looking to God's Word. Keep looking to it to get surety. Surety in what to believe and do. Look at the Apostolic New Covenant Revelation as the lens to guide you to understand even the truths that we're looking at this morning. And then use the strength. The strength you get is from God's Word. Use it and seek the success. What's the success again? The success is the obedience to what you know is true. So as we seem to be coming to the end of the coronavirus shutdown, which it looks like it's coming, like we're on the downhill in the next couple of weeks, keep all these things in mind. Look for God to do great things through all of this. And look for God to do great things with you in all this. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would do great things with us as we seek you and as we understand your calling in our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for the victory that comes in Christ Jesus. And we ask for revival in our land. And we ask that we be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.